the world at some point in the next 5 years will switch to a dollar linked to gold. If you go back to what Scott Bessent said recently, we plan to monetize our assets on our balance sheet. They are primarily land and real estate and 8,133 tons of gold. Asia, China and Russia in particular, they have far larger reserves, physical reserves of gold than that is being reported.
Simon Hunt, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
A good afternoon to you. Thank you.
To all of our viewers and listeners.
You're somewhere in America and I'm in Dubai.
Right. I messed that up. It's good afternoon to Simon and good morning to me. So we had an election here in November. And then since the inauguration, it's been a lot of change, let's start working that out. What is going on really geopolitically since the inauguration? I'd like to start with geopolitically in the attitudes really with the Great Reset, Davos. Is that put on hold or just tell me what's going on with that. And then also working Russia and China in there.
Not easy to answer your questions because principles are being set out subtly behind the bravado words that Trump likes, how he likes to speak. I think the first thing to do is to look at the big picture and then to narrow it down into what's going on in Europe over Ukraine and what's going on in the Middle East over Israel, Gaza, Iran, etc., etc. My take is that President Trump has had 4 years to think about America and America's position in the world. And I think he has concluded that the world needs a shake-up. If you look at a speech that Foreign Secretary Marco Rubio gave, it was all about, we had a multilateral world. The Berlin Wall broke down, the Soviet Union broke down. We were the only guy standing who could act as policeman to the world. So the world that was multilateral became unilateral. The problem became that we got so used to being policemen of the world that we had to do everything to see that we remained top dog, even if it meant organizing wars all over the world. But really, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but it's a pretty accurate paraphrasing. But really, the stage has come when we should go back to a multilateral world. And I think this is the basis of his big picture. There are part of pursuing a unilateral world meant that a large number of countries got pissed off with America's domination, excuse my language, and set up a number of organizations, the Shanghai Cooperative Organizations, the first big one. And then that grew into the BRICS group of nations. So if BRICS ever did evolve into an operating unit and really got the BRICS Bank, the New Development Bank, functioning as a proper lender, not of dollars, but of local currencies to BRICS membership, then that would become a severe rival to America's hegemony. So, policy number one, let's see if we can break the two big members away from each other, namely Russia and China. So I think his first push is to offer Russia some attractive deals in order to try to break the partnership, the strategic alliance with China. I don't think that is going to succeed. It's interesting that Marco Rubio, his foreign secretary, in November, his team in the Senate wrote a remarkable 60-odd page report on China, which was entitled something like The World That China Made. And I can tell you, I read all 60-odd pages. It's full of facts, real facts, not made-up facts. And basically, the conclusion of the report, simple language, was you mess with us, we can mess with you. So I think it's very likely that Trump's option one of splitting Russia and China away from each other will fail. It's a very deep-seated strategic alliance. So then the next option, how can we merge the policies of America and her allies with the policies of the BRICS group of nations? And my guess is that they will come together. They will organize spheres of interest. And the big key factor that the BRICS will insist on is we don't want a global currency that loses its value every year, with, for instance, a $1980 today is worth just 23 cents. So what does that do to metal producers, copper producers in the BRICS group of nations? They receive their dollars and all the revenue that they have produced from producing copper or whatever just declines in value. So I suspect, and it's my feeling, but I can back that up with some commentary in a moment, is that the world at some point in the next 5 years will switch to a dollar linked to gold. If you go back to what Scott Bessent said recently, we plan to monetize our assets on our balance sheet. They are primarily land and real estate and 8,133 tons of gold. Asia, China and Russia in particular, they have far larger reserves, physical reserves of gold, and that is being reported. Russia has approximately 12,000 tons, with most of it owned by a company closely aligned with Russia's central bank. China has approximately, the government has approximately 25,000 tons bought, imported since the early 1950s. And anything PLA imports is not recorded in customs data. And I can assure you that the PLA has a very large tonnage of gold stored in its warehouses. China's households and institutions have also bought physical gold off the Shanghai Gold Exchange since its inception in 2002. And the numbers that friends of mine have put together, such as Alistair MacLeod, comes to at least 25,000 tons. So what are they going to do? I think there are two routes that China will go. The first is to make an announcement that their currency is backed by the gold which their citizens own. The second potential route is that China's state-owned enterprises hold over $1 trillion of funds sitting in Hong Kong banks. From time to time, the PBOC brings a small tranche of that back into China. But what if they decided to convert the whole lot into Chinese currency from US dollars? That would, first of all, break the Hong Kong dollar peg. Then it could then be linked to Chinese currency, whilst at the same time, China making that announcement that its currency is backed by the gold that its citizens own. Implications would be enormous. So there are, both from the West and from the East, there are potential moves to revalue gold by central banks and essentially bring it back in, bring gold back into the monetary system. And of course, if you revalue gold, let me get my numbers together. Gold, if you revalued to market prices, the reserves held by global central banks, excluding China and Russia, would amount to just under $3 trillion. That's a fair chunk of global GDP, less China and Russia. For America, valuing their 8,000 tons at today's prices gives them a profit of something like $750 billion. They would have to circulate in the economy. I mean, the numbers for China and Russia are vast. Revaluing Russia's gold reserves comes to about one-third of Russia's GDP, and for China, one-quarter. So a lot of people who say that China's finances are in dire straits, with one move, they're no longer in dire straits.
Okay.
So that's as I see the big picture. But then within that big picture, you've got a Ukraine. And basically what Trump is saying NATO and America will have nothing to do with Ukraine in the future. It's pretty clear that a deal, that negotiations between America and Russia will take place soon. First of all, with aides to the two presidents, then finally the two presidents. And frankly, Europe and Kiev will have no real part in those negotiations. And really what Trump is saying is that your defenses in Europe are your problem. They're not our responsibility. What we will provide you will be a nuclear umbrella. But we are going to withdraw our troops. Just as Trump wants to withdraw troops from all over the world. We're no longer going to be the world's police. He states publicly we're going to cut our defense spending by 50%. Even if it's only 10%, it's a big number. And he's saying to Russia, China, et al., why do we need to spend so much money on the defense when actually we can draw up sensible treaties that we can abide by? That money can go into our respective economies. So I think the big picture is the exciting one. How do we get from A to B? In the Middle East, my sense is that Trump loves to hide what his real objectives are by making preposterous comments. And I think that over Gaza, that his statement that we are going to own Gaza and we're going to rebuild Gaza with our Arab friends is not what he is really after. My own view is that he is really after bringing Netanyahu and his government down and bringing in a centrist government so that a state Palestine can be created, which will then have the support all the Arab countries, and that Israel goes back to living peacefully within its own borders. How do we get from A to B? But I think that's the big picture, and it has consequences for everything. It's all, you know, it's very laudable to try to restructure the world. Thank goodness that he is trying. There are so many obstacles in his path, not only internationally, but within America. I mean, think of the ruptures going on in the industrial military complex. We're going to cut your budget by half. These guys have lived on the fat for so many years.
Yeah.
They're not going to sit back and take it lightly.
The $10,000 hammers. $10,000 hammers for the military.
Yeah.
Okay, so you just dropped truth bombs after truth bombs, and it's like there's so much material there. I don't know which direction to go, but I want to pin some thoughts. After your commentary about gold, really, I mean, it's also fascinating, but then you dropped a bomb, metaphorically speaking, on Israel. What's going on there? Wow.
On what? Sorry, I didn't hear
Israel.
You.
Israel. On Israel.
Oh, Israel. Think of it this way. If you can resolve the Gaza crisis, you can resolve virtually all of the problems in the Middle East.
Yes.
Iran.
Yes.
Axis of resistance. No longer needed. They fall by the wayside. Shi'i and Sunnis.
Yeah.
Starting to become closer together. They will cement that relationship.
Yeah.
And it really, at the end of the day, means that the Arab countries say, we don't want you meddling in our own internal affairs. We can now do it ourselves.
Right.
And America quietly pulls its way out, as do France and England, UK, I should say. I think Turkey My understanding is that the Turkish business people are much more in favor of ties with the West rather than Erdogan's dreams of recreating the Ottoman Empire in the Middle East.
Right.
So de facto, Turkey will go back to being what it was before, a trading country. Not trying to create new empires and playing Russia off against NATO and the EU.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting though, is you said, I want to make sure I get this right. And I paraphrase, it's just the whole idea of ushering, I want to make sure I say this right, ushering in a new government in Israel. And Netanyahu, that would make sense too, right? Because,
well, if you look at it, the government is pretty fragile.
Yeah, very.
The economy is in a terrible state. Netanyahu's health, so I'm told, is pretty fragile. His family live in Florida. When his government falls, I'm sure he will be allowed to live in Florida with his family.
Yeah. It just makes sense, I guess, all of the thing that you said, if you work it out. We don't know exactly how to, we don't play the calculus, if you would, but it just makes a lot of sense.
Let's pivot to goal. Sense doesn't always end in reality.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But there's a lot of nuance that we need to leave room for. But let's pivot a little bit to gold. So you're making, I want to make sure I understand this correctly. Gold is coming back into the monetary system now. As a currency, it's not only by BRICS, but
we're not there yet.
But we're going.
We have to wait until America revalues gold to the market price.
Right.
Only then can you say gold is coming back into the monetary system.
And is your belief that is happening? And also,
I think it will happen.
Got it. So that has such implications because of now. And you already answered the question, but it's like what to do with BRICS. It seems like the second scenario that you painted is that. I want more. What is the U.S. and BRICS?
We're either going to end up in war, or we are going a war between Russia and China on the one side and the rest of the BRICS against America and her allies, or else the superpowers are able to find a way of putting BRICS and the rest of the world into one basket that suits everybody. Which is why I end up by saying the BRICS certainly do not want a currency that is losing its value every year. Hence, what is the easy way out? A link to gold. People are starting, central banks, as you know better than I do, are building their gold reserves as an alternative to the dollar and other fiat currencies.
Okay, so there, yes. that is what's happening. And what are the implications of that? Well, I'm asking the question, or I think I already know the answer, but what are the implications to that, specifically with the U.S. bond market?
It all depends on timing. I mean, the way that we see things at the moment is that U.S. inflation and gold inflation are tracking very closely what happened in the 1970s and early 1980s. And if that track continues, it will mean that by 2027, 2028, US CPI is back to 13% and global inflation around 15%. What is that going to do to long bond yields, such as 10-year treasuries? In 1981, they hit 16%. What does that do to an indebted world?
It slows it down a lot. So that's really my question then, really. So it's 25 right now, February 14th, 25 right now. So in 2 to 3 years.
Valentine's Day, they tell me.
That's what my wife tells me. In approximately 2 years, 3 years, we could have, again, this depends on a lot of different nuances, but we could have a big spike in the 10 year.
Well, I think we also have a starting around about the third quarter, we will have a very strong global recovery. With inflation.
Yeah.
So equity markets will soar. Metal markets will soar. But first, I think we're going into, I think for the first 6 months or so, we're going to have difficult global economic conditions, which will lead to big corrections in equity markets globally.
Yeah.
So that's why I say sometime around about the third quarter, you should be going long equities, metals, et cetera, et cetera. But until then, it's a dangerous game.
Yeah, I would really agree with that. I think you're absolutely right. And it's kind of set up for that as well. If you just look not only at charts, but also valuations, but just also central banks, if we are in a recession, central banks flooding the system with money.
Sure. And that's when Trump's tax cuts come in and deregulation comes in.
Yeah.
To feed the growth.
Yeah. Okay. So work out a little bit more with me the whole relationship with China and Russia. It seems like relationships, and I think you're right. I mean, I didn't think about it. I think Trump is cozying up a lot to Russia and isolating China.
I mean, that's what a number of my friends are saying. But he's going to meet Xi in Moscow. Trump is probably going to Moscow, what is it, May 9th, for the anniversary of the Allies defeating Nazi Germany. She will be there.
I didn't know that. So it's just a big negotiation. Yeah, so what's going to happen?
And as I said earlier, maybe I didn't. Yes, I did. Marco Rubio's team produced this incredible report on China. And he knows what China, either we work together with China or we work against each other. And if we work against each other, China can dish out as much nasty stuff as America can dish out to China. I think, you know, the belligerent noise that is coming out, I think it's hiding something else.
Why?
We're going to talk.
So we're going to be working with both. That's the plan.
Sorry?
We're going to be working with both. That's the plan.
Yeah, I think so. I think he may have come to the conclusion that we can't separate these two countries. We're all going to work together.
Music to my ears. So if that's the case, that has huge implications for their really commodity markets, but also...
Yeah, as I've said, later this year.
Huge.
Massive.
Massive.
Massive on China, too.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, to quote what a friend of mine said, talking to a friend of his who was presenting to 2,500 financial institutions in Europe, and he asked, who is long of China? One hand went up.
So it's quite the country in play.
Yeah.
Hey, hon. This is great. So, Simon, I think we'll end on that. But let me know you need no introduction, but I want to give it to you. I'll put all of this in the show notes, but how do people find you that want to read you?
Simon-hunt.com.
Simon-hunt.com. Why am I writing that down? I knew that. I will put all of this in the show notes, both on the YouTube channel and the podcast. But this is our third time or fourth time together. Can't remember. And this has been my favorite.
Neither can I.
But I think this has been my favorite.
Good.
Well, thank you, Simon.
And, well, thank you too.
Yeah, we'll see you again soon.
Look forward to it.